Good morning, church. Thank you for coming to praise God today. Let's turn our Bible to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 7. And God's word says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which have 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no light night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. May God add his blessing to her, the hearing of his word this morning. Amen. Thank you.
This morning, we want to go to heaven. We want to see heaven today, and we're going to see the very heart of heaven and the heaven of heaven, I could almost say. So I've actually put that title on this message, the heart and heaven of heaven. What is the very heart of heaven? What is the very heaven? What makes heaven heaven? Well, here we see it in Revelation chapter 22. And verses 1 through 5. Let's pray as we begin. Now, Lord, please work in our lives through your precious word. Thank you, God, for the hope, the exciting hope that we have of heaven. And, Lord, help us to be so excited about our trip there that we want to tell as many people as possible how to get there as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you guys have all taken a trip, right? You've gone somewhere. You don't just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to Australia. You know, you have to make some kind of preparation when you go on a vacation, right? Is that true? You do that. So what kind of preparation do you make? You at least figure out how you're going to get there. You get your airplane ticket, right? You don't wake up that day and get your airplane ticket. It costs too much money that if you wait that long. So you make plans. You get air flight. You have to know where you're going to go. You want to know your hotel, where you're staying. Maybe you research. If you're going to go to Australia, you do some research, right? And you figure out what are the tours that you want to do and where do you want to go once you get there. Now, some places people go and they take that trip and they come back and they say to their friend, well, how was your trip? And they say, wow, that was to die for. Have you heard that expression? To die. That was to die for. You say, what in the world does to die for mean? Well, it means once you've been there, once you tasted that, you've done it all. You can die now. Your bucket list is all complete. You're ready to die. Well, there's only one thing to really die for, and that's for Jesus. And then only one reason to really die is that way you know you're going to heaven. Do you know that? Do you know? Here is glorious satisfaction. But just like if you go to Australia or you go to South America or you go somewhere, you make plans, think about dying and going to live somewhere forever. We need to make a plan. Do you know where you're going? I trust you know you're going to heaven. This place of glorious satisfaction. This place of paradise restored. This place of the throne of God and the face of Jesus Christ. I've been to a number of funerals through my years as a pastor where I just went as a congregant, so to speak, not to officiate. And I listen to what people say when they officiate messages and sermons. And even if that person was not religious at all, let's say they never went to church, they didn't really believe in any real faith, they didn't even have a faith, or maybe they had another faith that I know is really a faith of no hope. But it seems almost every funeral I've ever been to, whether the person was religious or not, guess where they always said the person was? All of a sudden, when people die, everybody believes in heaven. I mean, I'm sure there's the hardcore atheists. They say 6 feet under and that's it. There's no heaven, no hell, no afterlife at all. There's some people like that. But I would say most people, when it really comes down to their loved one dying, and have you been to funerals like that? You're like, I didn't know that guy believed everything. And all of a sudden, he's the most perfect person you ever heard, and he's in heaven. You've been to funerals like that. Do you know why you've been to funerals like that? Because people in their heart of hearts know this isn't all there is. People in their heart of hearts know there is life after the grave. And people know that there's a heaven. And here's the Bible telling us about heaven. So this is what we can know for sure. Now, a lot of people have a lot of strange ideas about heaven. You could have all kinds of opinions about heaven. But if they're not rooted in the Scripture, that's all they are, is opinions and ideas. But this is the Word of God. And one thing people do say about heaven, the gates are made of what? Pearl. Well, where'd they get the gates of pearl? Where'd they get the pearly gates from? They got that from the Bible. Or the streets are made of go, where they get that? That's from the Bible. And so, there is a heaven, beloved. So let's look at this passage, because these five verses conclude John's discussion of heaven. And he really gets to the very heart and heaven of heaven. Now, the first thing I want us to see about heaven, well, actually, before we say, let's just review real quick what we said last week, that as John has been talking about heaven, he's mentioning the perfection of the eternal kingdom, and he's really emphasizing its perfection by that which is missing. He's telling us how beautiful it is by what's not there. And what isn't there? No sea to divide us. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no temple, no sun, no moon, no more curse. And so there's all these no mores throughout the passage. And then we've defined or described heaven. Glorious heaven, as a dazzling spectrum of all the colors of the rainbow, with a crystal clear quality to it, with gold cast into it, and it's all lit up with the glory of God, with the power of the very face of Jesus shines as the sun throughout the heavenly kingdom. But there are four things I want us to see in this passage as we look at the very heart of heaven. And here's the first thing. We see the water of life. In verse 1, he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And he repeats that phrase, the throne of God and of the Lamb, in verse 3, twice. The throne of God and out of the Lamb, out of the throne proceeds a shimmering and sparkling river. Clear, cool, clean. God believes in clean water. And so we ought. I mean, we need to drink clean water. Here's clean water. Clear as crystal. And here is eternal refreshment. That's how I kind of summarize this. Eternal refreshment. Enjoyment and satisfaction. Wells of water spring up from the throne of God. This is the water. It says it's the water. How is it defined? Of life. This is the water that gives life. Life eternal, life abundant, life continuous. Because heaven never ends. Eternal refreshment. This is the water Jesus promised that woman at the well. Remember when He met her? And she said, and He told her, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This must be the well of water of which Jesus spoke. This well of water that springs up into everlasting life. That Jesus gives us life. Eternal life. And through the life He gives, we spring up to heaven. Now, this water is so interesting. And there's a number of things about it that remind me of the Holy Spirit of God. This water reminds me of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when we're in heaven, when we see this water, we will be indwelled with the Holy Spirit as we are now. But we will be perfectly indwelled with the Holy Spirit to walk in the power of the Spirit with all the perfect fruit of the Spirit in heaven. We will manifest the fruit of the Spirit perfectly by the power of God that will be filling us in heaven. But I believe this water that springs out of the throne of God reminds us of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how? Well, number one, because of the two persons that sit on the throne. Who are the two persons that sit on the throne? He says, this water springs or proceeds out of the throne of God, that's the Father, and of the Lamb. So we have the Father and the Son, and perhaps this water, and I'm not saying the water is the Holy Spirit, I'm saying that the water reminds us, though, of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Now, look at the word. It says this river is proceeding out of the throne of God. Now, go back to John chapter 15. That word proceed reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Because the river is proceeding out of the throne of the Father and the Son. So the river is proceeding from the Father and the Son. And notice John 15 and verse number 26 about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent forth or proceeds from the Father. As well, in another place, Jesus says, from Him, from the Son. John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. So I thought that was very interesting that this same word appears. That the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, and this water of life proceeds from the throne of the Father and His Son. Another reason why this river reminds me of the Holy Spirit is because it says that this river, this water of life, is a flowing river. It proceeds from the throne of God. It's a never-ceasing flow. It's a continuous flowing river throughout all eternity. The river will never run dry. And this reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself said, if you even go to John chapter 7, please, if you go to John chapter 7, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And obviously this pure river, the water of life, is a river we're going to drink from. We're not just going to look at it. When you see such a beautiful river, the first thing you're going to want to do is get down on your hands and knees and say, I want to taste that water. I want to taste how cool it is and how clear and clean and beautiful. Isn't clean water beautiful? Oh, man. I remember when I went to Greece one year, and we went up into the mountains, and there were these just little waterfalls, and we would go under the waterfalls and just drink the water. Well, we went to Greece last year, or not Greece, to the Philippines last year, and there were waterfalls, and we went under these awesome waterfalls, and you just like to taste the water and see what it tastes like. But Jesus said this. John chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse says, this spake he of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is clearly called river of living water, who is in us and flows out of us. So I believe when we see this river in heaven, we are going to be reminded of the person of the Holy Spirit, who is like a river that springs up and that flows out of us, who has quenched our thirst. Because the prophet Isaiah said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. So the Holy Spirit is seen as water who quenches the thirst of those who are parched and need satisfaction. And as a flood of water, the Holy Spirit is pictured as a flood of water. And so this river is called the water of life. And is not the Holy Spirit life? He is our life. He is the life of God imparted to us to give us regeneration. Regeneration is God giving His very life to dwell in us that we might live in Him. Wow, so what a beautiful river. I think we should be excited about drinking from this river. I think we should want to, we say, I can't wait. This river's to die for. And so this is a glorious sight in heaven that we will all see. This is a real thing. We're going to really see this real river. It's going to be awesome. So how do we prepare now? Okay, when you go on a trip, you're going to go to a certain place. You're going to see something. How do we prepare now for this river? Well, I believe we prepare to see and drink of this river by drinking of the water that Jesus gives now. By walking in the power of His Holy Spirit now. By living in the power of the Holy Spirit now. By manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit now. Love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faith and meekness and temperance. And so that we would live and teach and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit now. That is how we prepare to drink the water of life one day. So let's look at our next stop here on this tour of the heart of heaven, the heaven of heaven. And next we see a tree of life. The tree of life. And what does this tree of life remind us of? To me, I just summarize this tree of life as eternal abundance. Now, who doesn't like fruit? We all love fruit. We were just up in Vermont over the week, and there were a lot of little children amongst the missionary families, and it was great to see those missionary moms just feeding their kids little tangerines. Those little fruits. And boy, those little kids would just grab. Kids, you just put a tangerine in front of a child and they're old enough to grab it. They just grab that thing and put it in their mouth and the juice just goes right down their chin. Well, notice the fruit in heaven. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. And yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this tree speaks of an eternal abundance of fruit. Now the history of the tree of life is a fascinating history. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, where God put a tree of life where? In the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were there. They could have eaten of that tree of life, but they chose not to. They chose to eat what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God put a curse upon the serpent. And He cursed the ground. And sin entered the human race. And Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden. And God put a cherubim there with a flaming sword to keep them from eating of this tree of life. And ever since then, we all groan within ourselves. We're waiting for the removal of the curse upon the earth. And upon the corruptible aspect of our humanity, we groan within ourselves. We all face a certain level of frustration and trial and difficulty. Even loved ones die and it breaks our heart. I see Sister Sheena. God bless you. We've just been praying for you throughout the service, Sheena. I'm so glad that you could be with us today. May the Lord touch Sheena today. May the Lord give her strength in the midst of her loss. Dear God, in the midst of all the pain deep in her heart and soul, to be there and even to be with her mama. Lord, I know it's so hard, but thank you that you brought her here to be with us and our family. Oh God, would you just meet Sheena's needs and give her strength and peace and abundance as she eats of your fruit today, dear Lord God. The tree of life. Notice its abundant variety. Notice what it says. It says, there were 12 manner of fruits yielded her fruit every month. So there's going to be some kind of time in heaven. We don't know how long those months might be. Maybe it'll be the same. Maybe it'll be a different kind of time frame. But it says 12 different kinds of fruit. So are we going to eat in heaven? Yes, we're going to eat in heaven. Are you? Is it going to be delicious? You're going to enjoy it? Don't you enjoy good fruit and a good meal here? Sure, we're going to enjoy some beautiful and delicious things even in heaven. And by the way, this is almost like a return to the Garden of Eden diet. Before there was sin, this is what people ate. They ate of the herbs of the field. They ate the vegetables. They ate the fruit. It was after sin and death that man then ate of the animals. But here, there's not going to be any death in heaven, so there's not going to be eating of any, there's no cows that will be eating in heaven. No McDonald's, therefore, there will not be, you know, any Chick-fil-A's. There won't. Nobody will have to argue whether Chick-fil-A should even be there or not, because it won't be there. But here is a return to the Garden of Eden diet, which is a healthy diet, by the way. There's going to be great variety. And there's going to be eternal health. Now notice what it says, and this is, I don't fully understand this. I could try to explain it. I don't know if I'm going to fully satisfy anyone and everyone here. But notice what it says. It says that the leaves of the tree, at the end of verse 2, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now you say, well, why would they need health in heaven? Well, because they're going to have a body. But in heaven, there's no curse. And in heaven, there's no sickness. Or there's no sorrow. There's no death. But here it does say that the leaves were health-giving. That the leaves of the tree will promote health in heaven. That's how I read that. Of course, there's not going to be any sickness in heaven. Do you know why? Because the leaves of the tree will promote health for everyone. In other words, it seems that even when we're in heaven, doing the right thing will be advantageous for your overall health. But what if you don't do the right thing? Oh, but in heaven you will do the right thing. That's the point. In heaven you won't sin. So much of our behavior, in other words, what I'm saying, is self-destructive behavior. People get drunk, or they use drugs, or they get involved in sexual immorality and get all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases, or they just eat McDonald's, potato chips, and Coca-Cola all the time. And they don't have the discipline to stop. But in heaven, we'll have beautiful discipline. Perfect discipline. Oh, I'm supposed to eat that leaf for health? I'll eat the leaf for health. Isn't it interesting that we know that leaves and roots and things like that those are all very health-giving to this day. If you want to be healthy, eat green. You know, honestly, if I ever get cancer, I'm going to really go radical. And I'm not talking about chemotherapy and radiation. I'm talking about wheatgrass. And I would put my hope more in the green food that God made on the earth for my health. In heaven, we're going to have perfect health. And nobody is going to do anything stupid to themselves or anybody else. Doesn't that sound like heaven to you? We are so self-destructive in our behavior, with our words and our attitudes, our actions. All of us exhibit at certain times self-destructive behavior that is harmful to us physically and spiritually. We don't do the thing we're supposed to do. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We self-pity ourselves. We don't trust God. We don't walk by faith. It's not natural to us. It goes all against our sinful nature to do what God wants us to do. But in heaven, then sin nature is going to be gone. And we're going to do exactly what God wants us to do. And we will have perfect health. And these leaves are health-giving and will promote the full enjoyment of life in the new heaven and the new earth. But you know, when you study the idea of the tree of life, I'm just going to run through four verses from Proverbs, and I have them up here, about the tree of life. It's so interesting how it's quoted and spoken of in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3:18, let's read this verse, please. It says, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her." So she is a tree of life. Well, who is the she there in Proverbs chapter 3? If you look at the context, the she is clearly wisdom. So wisdom is a tree of life. And what is wisdom? In other words, if we live wisely, we will be eating from the tree of life here. And the tree of life of wisdom is pure, living purely, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That is a tree of life. So there will be abundant wisdom in heaven. We're going to have full wisdom. Here's another verse, Proverbs 11, verse 30. Can you please read it with me? It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So the fruit of the righteous, when I see that, I'm reminded of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the love and the joy and the peace. We're going to have perfect love for one another and God in heaven. We're going to be, we'll have the fullness of joy in heaven. We'll have perfect peace in heaven. That's the tree of life. That's what the tree of life gives to us. But here he says that even as we are righteous, and who are righteous? Those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their righteousness, because Jesus is ultimately wisdom. And Jesus is ultimately our righteousness. And so, as we have our righteousness in Him, we can get a taste of this tree of life here, though we're not in heaven yet. So, the tree of life. This verse reminds me of the abundant satisfaction in heaven. Please read with me Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life." You get this verse, don't you? Haven't you had disappointment? Haven't you set your heart on something and you were let down and you went into despair and even into depression because you didn't get what you had set your heart upon? And that's normal. If you set your heart on something and you don't get it and your hopes are dashed, it says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You're going to feel sick in your heart. You're going to feel like you're punched in the gut. Have you ever felt like punched in the gut? I have. But in heaven, there's nobody's going to punch you in the gut. There's going to be no disappointment in heaven. Every hope you have will be fulfilled and not deferred or disappointed in heaven. You will have your desires fully satisfied in heaven. Sounds like a good place, right? Don't you want to be there? And then heaven, the tree of life here, is our speech. You want to get a taste of the tree of life here? Speak godly words. The right words and the right time. I'm finding, as I get old, is such a gift. And I don't have that gift all the time. Do you say the right thing at the right time all the time? Do you? I don't know anybody. Who says sometimes, have you ever said the wrong thing at the wrong time? Let me see your hand. Okay, all of us. You see? Because we're still under the curse. But one day, when we're in heaven, we will always say the right thing at the right time. Proverbs 15:4, what does it say? "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." And the word wholesome, look it up. It means healthy. Similar to the leaves that are health-giving. So this tree of life gives health. You want to have a healthy life? Speak words that are healthy. Words that are angry and bitter, corrupt, cursing. These are not healthy words for your spirit. When you speak to your kids and your children, or when you speak to your husband or your wife, you speak to your boss at your job, speak wholesome words, healthy words, encouraging words, kind words, patient words. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us to do that, don't we? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So I'm looking forward to in heaven always speaking the right thing. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we went up to Vermont this past week. We went to a missions conference, as I mentioned, and we stayed in the home of Allison Smith. And it was really neat that God brought us to be in her home. She's such a sweet lady. She's probably in her 80s. And we've known her for like 30 years because we've been going up to that church for mission conferences and things like that for over 30 years. We first went there in 1984. So we've known her, her husband, who went to be with the Lord 3 years ago, and the anniversary was Friday. So God had us there for the 3-year anniversary of the death of her husband. And I know she really loved being with Debbie, and Debbie enjoyed her. We both enjoyed her. We prayed with her a number of times. So here's Debbie, and this is another friend, Carol Gagnon. And, I thought I had a Dean's picture, but her husband also visited. And we've known Carol and Dean. We've stayed in their home. They've actually, Dean has been in our church a number of times through the years, but they've been good friends. But Allison, the reason why I'm saying this is when we got there, you know what she told us? She said, "I'm so glad I got you to stay in our." She was glad that she got us to stay in her home. And I thought, wow, really? Sometimes people come to my house, I'm like, when are you leaving? So I told her, I said, "You mean in 3 days I won't stink like a fish?" You know, as they say, after 3 days, fish and friends stink. But she said, "Oh, I'm so, that was the right word. That's the tree of life. That's a wholesome tongue." And you know, when we got home yesterday, Debbie called her, and just to let her know that we arrived safely. And she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you called. I didn't ask you to call, but I'm glad that you did." And then she said, "You know, there's a real hole now in my house without you." Isn't that nice? I mean, so she welcomed us when we got there, and then she made us feel like she wanted us to stay. That was so encouraging. I got to learn from that. And we can all learn. That's why I'm sharing that. Let's all learn from this dear saint of God. And by the way, two of her sons are deacons in the church now. She's raised up a godly family. They love the Lord. Wow. Let's keep moving on. So let's prepare to... We're going to eat the tree of life. Now, have you ever like made reservations to go to a restaurant? And you look forward to it? You're going to go to Peter Luger's. And your mouth is watering. I can't wait. Okay, we're going to eat the tree of life. We should get ready for that. We should be excited. We should look forward to it. Amen? So how do we prepare? Well, look to Jesus now. Look to how He died on another tree, the tree of death. We eat the tree of life because we believe that He died on the cross, that tree of death. Christ is crucified. And that is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so in some sense, Jesus Christ is that water of life, and He is this tree of life. We drink of this water and we eat of that tree because of the glory of who Jesus Christ is. And so we need to be excited that one day we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. I want to close this message. But I want us to just look at verse 4, and we'll talk more about this next week. Look at verse 4. It says, "And they shall see His face." Now, His face lights up all heaven. And we're going to look into the face of God and not die. Now, the Bible says if any man sees the face of God, he'll die. But when we're in a glorified body, we're going to see the face of God. The glory of God in Jesus Christ. The full manifestation of that glory. Because in another place it says there's no sun. Who's the sun in heaven? Jesus. And yet we're going to look into that face. So what will it be for you when you look into the face of Jesus Christ? What will it be for you? I just want to go to this slide here. I want to skip ahead. Because, you know, some people, when they see that face, in Revelation chapter 6, the Scripture says, cover me! Cover me! I can't look on that face! Cover me from the face of Him with whom I have to do! Hide me from that face! And before the great white throne judgment, it says that when that great white throne appeared, it says the heaven and the earth fled away! The unrighteous cannot stand before the face of Jesus Christ. But these are the redeemed of the earth. These are the ones who have been saved. These are the ones who have His name on their forehead because they are His. And they have believed that He died for them on the cross and rose again from the dead. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter and experience the water of life and the tree of life. But we want you to. And that's why Jesus Christ came. So that we could be saved. So that we could eat of this tree and have continuous, beautiful fellowship with Him for all eternity. Do you know Him? Have you been saved? If you have been saved, labor for Him in love, in the power of His Holy Spirit, because His Spirit is in you. As a river of living water springing up to everlasting life. And His Spirit is in you to give you 12 manner of fruit all throughout the year. To give you the fruit of God manifest through your mortal flesh. May God help us to be lights of His love in our city. Let's stand together as we pray. Let's pray today. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the hope and of we have of this glorious city, this new heaven and a new earth. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see you, Jesus, one day. And we're going to be with you continuously for all eternity. Oh, we praise you, dear God. And Lord, we thank you that you show us and give us a glimpse of this heart of heaven. This place that you say is your throne. Heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool. And your throne can become our home when we trust you as our Savior and believe that you died for us on the cross and rose again. How many would say today that by the grace of God, God has called me to Himself. I have heard His call to me and I have come to Him. And I have believed on Him from my heart. As the Scripture says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you can say, I'm saved because I have confessed Him with my mouth and believed on Him in my heart. And yes, by the grace of God, I'm His child. And I look forward to heaven, to being with my Savior. Can I see your hand? And just hold it up for a moment. Hold it up to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your glorious salvation in Jesus. Oh, Father, help us, we pray, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And to eat of your Word, that we can bring forth this kind of beautiful fruit that we see of the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. You may put your hands down. Now, beloved, you've gone through disappointment. You've gone through trial. You've gone through the loss of loved one. And your heart does ache. And your heart does pain. Thank God when your loved ones know Jesus. And they're with Him today. What comfort we have in our heart. One day we'll see our loved ones again. What glory to see the face of Jesus. What joy to see our loved ones in heaven someday. Some of you have had disappointments in this life. You say, why, Lord? But God is going to use those disappointments to direct you to Him, to trust in Him. So keep walking by faith, and He's going to turn those disappointments into great life stories. And He's going to provide for you in ways that you never knew as you walk by faith and not by sight. So how many would say, Pastor Matt, yes, I've gone through some disappointments and pain in my life, but I'm trusting God. As the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. And so you're doing that. Can I see your hand today? Yes. Yes, disappointments. All of us experience them and have them. Many hands. You may put your hands down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the disappointments that You allow. And we know that all things work together for good. Even those trials. Now, how many would say, Pastor Matt, I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I have no hope of heaven. But I want to be saved. I want to trust in Jesus as my Savior. Is there anyone who'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I need salvation in Christ. Can I see your hand? You could just slip it up that I could pray for you. Is there anyone at all that I could pray for you today? Let's pray. Father, thank You. God, thank You for Your love. Oh God, thank You for, I see our dear Sheena back there. I'm just going to ask the deacon's wives to go around Sheena and just pray. And my wife and Jonathan. Just lay Your hands on our dear sister. That the Spirit of God would minister His peace to her. And maybe you have a trial in your life. A disappointment. But look unto Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. Look unto Him now. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He is God of very God. He is King of kings. He's going to work out your trial for your good and His glory, for the best. If you need us to pray for you, you just want us to have we'll have a closing prayer. As we sing this song, you can step forward as we sing quietly, prayerfully, this chorus that we sang earlier. If you want us to pray for you, you can step out of your seat and come. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and trust Him. And say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord. And help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
So, Father, how we rejoice that heaven is our future home. We praise You, dear God. And Lord, as we go back to our earthly homes today, we pray, Lord, that You would just give us an enthusiasm and an excitement to live for You, knowing that one day we will see Your face. And as the songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So gladly we'll run that race. Till we see Christ. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.